This is the last Sunday in our Art of Neighboring series, and we've dealt with a lot of different aspects of what it means to be a neighbor, what it means to be a good neighbor. How do we love God and love our neighbors as ourselves? And today we begin our worship with the very last words in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' parting words to his disciples. He tells them, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." The word there is ethnoion, all the nations, everybody, not just Jewish folks, everybody. "Teaching them everything that I have taught you and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And we're fortunate here that we get to do that a lot in this congregation, don't we? To baptize both children and adults. Get to hear those words and to follow what Jesus told us. And then he ends with a word of assurance. He says, "I will be with you even to the end of the world, the end of the age, the end of the earth, the end of all we know." Now, that, in essence, is our job description, our mission. In the United Methodist Church, in the Book of Discipline, it specifically says that we are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. If that means that our work is to make the world a more loving place where people genuinely see God in each other, are kind to each other, and welcome each other, unfortunately, we haven't done a very good job. Fortunately, we have more time. It's our job to be faithful in the task of making disciples, not necessarily to be successful. We will leave that up to God. But our job is to help people grow into becoming followers of Jesus, to make disciples. Now, that word "make" is a little bit tough for us because if I make you do something, I coerce you into doing it, right? If I make you into the person I want you to be, you're not necessarily the person God called you to be. Fortunately, the word in Greek is poiesis, same word we get poetry from. It's a kind of creative making. It's not that we create other individuals, it's that, like a poet, we take the words, we assemble them, we find the music in them, we find the meaning and the mystery in them. Or perhaps a better image is that we plant a seed, or we plant a tiny plant, and we cultivate that. We water it. We help it to grow. That's what we do when we cultivate disciples. Now, what is a disciple? Jesus laid it out pretty clearly. The Great Commission, as we call this, depends upon the Great Commandment, which he already gave us. Two in one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is what a disciple does. That is what we aspire to. When we make disciples, when we cultivate other disciples, we desire to help them grow in their love of God and their love of neighbor, and the love of self that allows us to love neighbor as a child of God. Now, not everybody is at the same place in that process. We probably never will be. I'm going to try to describe a little bit the journey of becoming a disciple, and hopefully it will fit some of your own experiences. Some of us, you know, go through what seems to be a kind of assembly line process where we start with baptism and we're in the nursery and then we're in the elementary Sunday school, then we have confirmation, then we have youth group, and then we're disciples. It's kind of a manufacturing process, right? Well, that's all important. Don't get me wrong. All of that learning is important. It doesn't guarantee that we are disciples when we come out, because discipleship is more than just learning information. It's about developing relationships. It's about learning from others what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, some of us come to that as children. Some of us come to that as adults. But all of us begin as observers. We watch what the other followers of Jesus are doing. Whether we're a child watching our parents, how do our parents reflect the love of God and the love of neighbor, as Jesus told us? Whether we're watching other people in church, whether we're watching our pastors, our Sunday school teachers, or folks visiting this congregation, we'll be looking around and observing. How do these Christians live that's different from the way everybody else lives? Do they treat each other with greater love, with more respect, with deeper companionship than those outside the church? And those observers will be watching in part to see Jesus reflected in us. And if they don't see it too often, they're quick to leave. If we look like the society around us, people are very quickly disillusioned with what they see. And those observers will drift away, sometimes feeling pushed away because of something we've done or something we've said. But for those who stick around, the next stage, as I understand it, is that we become admirers of Jesus. He's right up there with our favorite football star, our favorite music star, our favorite celebrity on television, our favorite basketball player, you choose, our favorite writer. He's right up there with the celebrities that we want to be like. And that's not a bad thing. Because discipleship deepens as we learn to admire Jesus. There's a lot to admire in him. He's courageous. When his parishioners in Nazareth try to throw him off the brow of a hill when they don't like a sermon, he simply walks through the middle of them. When he faces the power of the Roman Empire in the person of Pontius Pilate, he stands there knowing that Pilate has the power to literally torture him to death and tells Pilate the truth. There's a lot to admire in that man, Jesus. There's a lot to admire in his teaching. And so to admire Jesus is an important stage along the way of discipleship, where we begin to learn what kind of person he was, what kind of teachings he reflected, and we begin to observe not just the followers of Jesus, but Jesus himself, and how well his actions fit with his words. Far better than ours most of the time. Sometimes we admire Jesus to the extent that we genuinely do want to become a follower of Jesus. We want to learn what he knows. We want to be involved in his community. That's usually when we decide to join a Sunday school class, another small group, the choir, come to Wednesday night, join a covenant discipleship group, join in the life of the congregation, go on a mission trip, so that we might learn through experience what it means to be a follower of Jesus, not just observing his followers, not just admiring him as a person, but actually practicing the practices and living out the life that disciples live. We become followers. And thank goodness we don't have to be perfect at this. Look at his followers in the Gospels. They fail over and over and over again. They disappoint him over and over and over again. He calls them, "O ye of little faith." They just don't get it most of the time. So you don't have to get it all right. You don't have to know it all to be a follower of Jesus. His original followers didn't get it all right, didn't know it all. But he stayed with them. Remember that promise? I am with you always. He stuck with them, despite the fact that they failed again and again and again, even to the point of betraying him, denying him, and deserting him in his hour of need. He still gathered them again and continued to teach them both by word and example. Sometimes on our journey of following Jesus, like those teachers I mentioned in the children's time, we want to become like our master. I call that apprenticeship. We become an apprentice of Jesus. Now, I want you to forget everything you've heard about an apprentice on television, okay? I'm going back to a much older definition. Originally, an apprentice was someone, often a child, who went to live with a craftsperson or an artist, a master of some technique. And living with that person learned the tools, learned the craft, the techniques of doing whatever that person was master of, and slowly but surely gained enough experience that they become like their master. That's the goal of the apprentice, not just to learn stuff, but to become like the person who is teaching them, to become like their master. Interestingly enough, that's exactly what the disciples of Jesus did. After failing again and again, we read in the Gospel of Acts and then hear in the tradition about how they went out and laid their lives on the line following the example of Jesus, who laid his life on the line for the gospel of love, who would not return hate for hate, who would not return abuse for abuse, who would not return violence for violence, but instead returned with love the worst that the world had to give, who responded with grace and mercy and compassion and honesty and truth, which is what ultimately got him killed, of course, to the most powerful and violent regime known to humankind to that point. And so when we decide to become apprentices of Jesus, when we decide to become like him, it's just possible we will be called to lay our lives on the line. There are followers of Jesus who have done that throughout the ages. There are followers of Jesus who are doing that to this very day, laying their lives down for the gospel of love. Because they chose to love instead of hate, because they chose not to return violence with violence but with compassion, because they chose to love their Hindu brother or their Muslim brother or sister or their Buddhist brother or sister, because they chose to love their Catholic brother or sister or Church of Christ brother or sister, because they chose to love their Republican brother or sister or Democratic brother or sister, or because they even chose to love some of their United Methodist brothers and sisters. Because they chose to love even when people hated them, excluded them, despised them. And according to the tradition, every single one of Jesus' closest disciples died a death like his, except for one, John, who cared for Jesus' mother. They finally got it. Their apprenticeship ended, and they discovered that this road to discipleship is not all roses. We are not promised that things will always go well. We are promised that Jesus will be with us even to the end of the age. We are not promised that we will be loved because we are loving people, especially if we love the wrong people. We are not promised that we won't have violence enacted upon us if we choose not to respond violently. We are promised that Jesus will be with us even to the end of the age. Now, let me just say, it's okay to be at any of those stages. It's okay to simply be here as an observer. It's okay to be an admirer of Jesus. It's okay to be a follower of Jesus, and it's okay to be an apprentice. But I'm here to put you on notice that if you're an observer, we're going to try to woo you into being an admirer. And if you're an admirer, we're going to try to entice you into being a follower. And if you are a follower, we're going to tell you the truth about what it might require to be an apprentice. but we're going to invite you into apprenticeship with Jesus. Because that's what it means to make disciples. That's the kind of discipleship that will indeed transform the world. And it can only be lived out if we truly believe that Jesus will be with us always, even to the very end of the world. That, my friends, is our hope. Thanks be to God.